Today we remember the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Cities across America are holding various events, including here in Lansing. In 2015, the day seems to resonate with even greater impact than usual. Here to explain his current state's Kevin Lavery. Kevin, this holiday follows a tumultuous year.
It really does, Mark. Civil rights is once again front and center in our country. I'm sure many of us watched in amazement and outrage last year as events unfolded in the deaths of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, Eric Garner in New York, and Tamar Rice in Cleveland. You could feel the echoes of the 1960s, an era when protests and violence were much more widespread. Today, the Greater Lansing Area Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Commission welcomes a civil rights icon as its keynote speaker. Henry Thomas was 19 years old in 1961 when he rode a bus through the South as one of the 13 original Freedom Riders who were protesting segregation. He was severely beaten when the bus stopped in Anniston, Alabama. I met Mr. Thomas last night at a very noisy reception in his honor at the Broad Museum, and I asked him what motivated him to step onto that bus.
Well, living under the American apartheid system that we call segregation, every single day, especially in the South, an African American is humiliated by that system. So I did what people all over the world throughout history have done. When they are oppressed, their dignity under attack, sooner or later, they seize the opportunity to do something about it. But even prior to the Freedom Rides, I had been participating in sit-ins and doing little things on my own in my hometown of St. Augustine to say no to that particular system. So it wasn't a sudden decision. It was a culmination of all of the little things I've done to fight the evil called segregation.
Even before the bus pulled into Anniston, Alabama, did you anticipate problems, an attack, anything going through your mind?
Yes, I did, because in Winnsboro, I was arrested, taken out of the cell at night by the police, and taken to a Klan meeting for the purpose of them killing me. So I knew I had some inkling, if you will, that the rest of the trip was not going to be a trip to the beach.
How did you escape that?
I outran the mob, and a very brave black man, World War II veteran, a paralyzed veteran, drove up in his car as I was running and told me to jump in, and he took me out of Winnsboro. That's how I escaped. But this man had already left blood on the battlefield for his country, so I don't know what they did to him after that. But as I was saying, to answer the question, I guess I've always had rebellion in my blood, and when I had the opportunity to strike back, I took that opportunity.
What do you see and what do you hear in your memory when you think about when the bus stopped in Anniston?
I never forget that particular day, May 14th, 1961. Me and all of the other Freedom Riders on that bus, six of us and about six other passengers, were just a few minutes away from death. Since they couldn't get on the bus to get at us, they set the bus afire and then held the door to keep us from getting out. Luckily for us, the fire reached the fuel tank of the bus and blew it up, and that was the way we got out of the bus.
You were the first one out of the bus, and you were promptly greeted by someone who said, "Are you okay?" And you can pick up the story from there.
And he hit me with a baseball bat. And I knew I was knocked out for maybe a few seconds, but that was it. But the drama wasn't over. As we were all suffering from smoke inhalation, ambulances were called, but the ambulances would not treat us black people. Because back in those days, whether it was Alabama, Mississippi, or Georgia, a white ambulance company could not take a black person to the hospital. Same as it would have been in South Africa, or the same as it would have been in Nazi Germany in terms of a German taking a Jew to the hospital. Those were the conditions that we lived under in this country at that time.
You're lying there bleeding, knocked out for a few moments, chaos erupting everywhere. And out of all of this comes a little white girl, 12 years old, Janie Forsythe.
Yes. And I don't know if you know what happened to her, but they turned on her a little bit later on. And her parents had to send her out of the city for safety. That was America, 1961. And her only crime was she extended the hand of Christianity and gave us water. And for that, they were willing to punish her, just like the Germans told all of the Poles, if you do anything to help a Jew, you're going to pay dearly for it.
Did you keep in touch with Janie Forsythe over the years?
Oh, yes, yes. We visited each other, and she stayed at my home on a couple of occasions.
We're talking with Henry Hank Thomas, one of the original 13 Freedom Riders, beaten severely in Anniston, Alabama in May of 1961. Last year, we went through the agony of the Michael Brown and Eric Garner and Tamar Rice situations. Mr. Thomas, were those setbacks or were those an uncovering of a still existing problem?
Uncovering. Had that been 50 years ago, the police officer wouldn't have been cited, wouldn't have. The only thing he would have had to do was do some paperwork, because killing black people by the police was almost a common occurrence. And it wouldn't have been in the newspapers. So, as you said, it was an uncovering because of social media and video cameras and things of that nature.
What was your reaction when you saw what was happening in Ferguson, again later in New York, Cleveland?
I wasn't that surprised that this is still going on. I have two grandsons, and they're teenagers, and I have talked to them about what to do when they encounter a white police officer. Put your hands behind your head. Do not say anything other than answer the question, because I had to tell him he has a gun and he will kill you. That is not, I think, being overly dramatic.
And you still tell your grandchildren this, despite the fact you have spent the better part of your life trying to overturn that.
That is correct. But they've got to worry about that one white police officer who does not value a black life. If you remember seeing this incident where the 12-year-old was killed by the police within 2 seconds after them pulling up there, and then they brutalized his sister who was going to his aid. Those cops did not value black life. And that's what we have to be concerned about, those police officers.
Does it come down to teaching whites about the term white privilege that many of us may not have heard before?
I don't know if in the case of those police officers that would really make a difference. I think to a great extent all of the police forces got to start teaching the police better tactics, teaching them not to assume that every black person they encounter is a criminal, and not to assume that every black they encounter has a gun, and this type of thing. When they start doing that and having procedures which say that if you pull your gun and you fire your weapon, there's got to be a very good reason. But unfortunately, all the police officer has to say is, I thought he was reaching for a gun, I was in fear of my life, and that justifies the force. So those laws have got to be changed, such as the law which states, this is with reference to a gun, if a person has a gun and he is reasonably in fear of his life, who is to determine what is reasonable? Those laws have got to be taken off the books. And if they're not, and until they are, you're going to have more white police officers shooting young blacks.
This tells me, sir, that you were one of the people who helped dig the well, but you still haven't had the chance to drink from it yet.
Well, okay, I'll go along with that to a certain extent. There have been lots of changes in this country, and I have been the recipient of those changes.
What would you tell that young 19-year-old man who is lying on the ground outside of a burning bus in that famous picture? What would you tell him today?
Hang on, buddy. You are part of some major changes in this country. And that's the price you pay. And that's the price I've paid. but I am very proud of what I did and the part I played in helping to change this country.
Henry Hank Thomas, one of the original 13 Freedom Riders, the keynote speaker at the MLK Holiday Commission luncheon.
Thank you very much.
Absolute honor, sir.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.